Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The Sports Virus Podcast.
Welcome to the Sports Virus Podcast, everybody. I'm Joe Castellano, along with Ray Woodson. Great to have you with us again. And as always, we're sponsored by Kane's Tire in San Rafael, where they've had the lowest prices in Marin County, California, for over 60 years. And we're brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco, offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Well, Ray, I just got back from the NCAA tournament. I was in Boston for the regional there, and UConn, they look like world beaters. But, you know, I'm really excited to see NC State get to the Final Four. You think about Jim Valvano. As soon as you watch that NC State team and how amazing it was when they won in 1983 as the Cinderella team, and here they are again, I mean, an 11 seed getting to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. Yes, led by Mr. Burns. He's becoming the rock star of the tournament, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fun.
And as I understand it, he's already making some money, I guess, selling T-shirts or whatever. He's going to be one of the big hits, I think, of the tournament coming up in Glendale, just down the road from us, this coming weekend. And you always love a Cinderella story. And, you know, this guy, apart from the fact that he looks like an anomaly as a basketball player, but he, even at his girth, he's quick on his feet. He's got a good shooting touch, and obviously he's a load to handle down in the post. So it's going to be interesting to see how a team defenses him. But I confess to you before the tournament started that I hadn't watched a whole lot of college basketball, but from what I saw, UConn looked really good, and they haven't backed off on that assessment at all. In fact, I think they've doubled down on it. They've just been running teams out of the gym. So I would have to think they're the odds-on favorites. But, you know, again, everybody loves a Cinderella story. And you get to a championship game or a Final Four game, and these are young guys, and they can give in to nerves. And that's, you know, part of the appeal of this. You got young players, and I've said it a million times about this tournament. It's not great basketball, but it's great drama. UConn, you're getting some great basketball, too. And occasionally you do get that with young developing players. But they leave it all out on the floor. There's so much emotion invested in it. And that's why it's one of the greatest sporting events in the world.
You know, you mentioned Burns. And this seems like the tournament of big players. And you kind of think in basketball these days, bigs aren't really as appreciated because of the three-point shot. But I think in this tournament, you know, we're looking at Burns. We're looking at Zach Edey, who is 7'4", 300 pounds, Ray. I mean, that guy, he just towers over everybody, and he's just huge. I mean, he is such a presence, just a great basketball player. So you got Purdue with Edey going up against Burns with NC State. And Donovan Klingon, he's 7'2" for UConn. They have a deep team. They don't just count on him. But I just think with the size of some of these players these days in college basketball, it's really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a mashup for sure. And this is going to be one case where Burns is going to be the quicker guy, right?
Right.
So, I mean, he's going to be the little guy on that.
That is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, but, you know, he's got skills. So and by the way, pretty good passer out of the post. So you got all that involved, and it's going to be a very intriguing matchup. The thing about it, you talk about three-pointers, and of course everybody's in love with three-pointers now. They don't shoot them as well at the college level. They just don't. And that's one of the things that makes it hard. I think McCain in North Carolina was about the only guy I saw in the tournament who was consistent shooting threes. He's somebody you could bank on. Some of these guys are pretty good, but, you know, they're not a consistent level, and I guess I wouldn't expect them to be. Not everybody's going to be, you know, Steph Curry with Davidson in the tournament.
Right.
So, but, you know, that's part of the game now. That's part of the analytics. But even then, there are going to be nights when you're not shooting the threes well and you need to get a bucket. Burns can get you a bucket. Edey can get you a bucket. And that still has value in the modern game.
I was a little disappointed when Clemson didn't make it because they have a player named Jack Clark. And Jack Clark was my favorite baseball player when I was in high school with the San Francisco Giants, so I was kind of bummed. No relation, by the way.
Yeah, I think he missed a couple of big free throws down the stretch. So, Maybe Jack Clark, the basketball player, will get into racing like Jack Clark, the baseball player, did. That guy's a character. I'll tell you what. Yeah, he's one of my favorites as well. And I remember talking to Will Clark about it, why he chose number 22. And I think he mentioned because it was Jack Clark's number. So, we're bringing it full circle here.
Yeah, that was my favorite number when I was in high school because of Jack. But then Will had it, so I couldn't go wrong with number 22. I love that. And, yeah, Jack, I mean, he had some kind of power. I remember I went to a game at Candlestick one time, and the wind was blowing in from center, and he still hit one out to center field. And he had a really good arm. He was not a very good base runner from what I remember. But no. he was a good giant back in the late 70s.
No, he was, and he was excellent with the Cardinals, and you know he's a guy who could get you 30 home runs and 100 walks a year. Remember, he had a pretty good batting eye. Yeah, he'd strike out a lot, but he was kind of a precursor to the modern day player with the three true outcomes. He'd strike out, he'd get you a walk, or he'd hit a home run. There was a little more to his game than that. He hit for a higher average, but you know, very very effective slugger with teams that needed that kind of pop in the middle of the lineup, and of course ended up with the Cardinals and doing well with them. I think any baseball player, if you told them they could have Jack Clark's career, they'd take it and run with it starting their careers.
Speaking of baseball, let's talk about the Giants. They end up with a split of the four-game series with the Padres. They're going to take on the Dodgers now in L.A., rivalry right off the bat. And the Giants, I mean, so much changed right before the regular season. To get Matt Chapman, to get Blake Snell, and we're highly anticipating seeing him taking the mound as a Giant. It really just kind of changed the whole outlook of the team, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And by the way, parenthetically, very crafty to use a basketball player named Jack Clark to try to segue from the NCAA tournament to baseball. I was wondering how you're going
to
do that.
And to the Giants, yeah.
And you dropped a Jack Clark in there. He parachuted into the conversation. So very nicely done there. It's a split screen with the Giants for me because they've done some things to really tick off the fan base, including not having Rennell back as public address announcer,
yeah,
which makes no sense to me. That's just a... Talk about bungling something. That was really dumb. And a couple other things they've done. But, you know, baseball-wise, I think at the end of the day, for all the people who are Farhan haters, and, you know, maybe when this is all said and done, he'll have to shoulder the blame. But I think they've done a pretty good job assembling this roster overall. It's, a little more pop in the lineup and certainly depth in the pitching staff that we're not seeing yet, but we're going to. And, you know, they had to start Dalton Jeffries yesterday because Snell's not ready yet. He may be ready pretty soon. As I understand it, he struck out 11 in four innings here in Arizona in a matchup against double-A hitters. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. But we're talking about the reigning Cy Young winner. And so you'd rather have him do that, look impressive, than not look impressive. So it looks like he's pretty close to being ready to go. Then you have Alex Cobb coming up. And then midseason Robbie Ray. So what do you have in your rotation in the meantime to kind of bridge that gap? Like I say, having Snell in that rotation is going to make it pretty potent because what you saw in San Diego is you saw pretty good starts by Logan Webb. And I know people were concerned about him in spring training, but he kind of showed that what he was going through was just a process. And he was pretty much the same guy. And then, you know, Kyle Harrison had a good outing, and the guy I'm really excited about is Jordan Hicks. So if those guys pan out and Snell comes back and is close to the guy he was last year, and then Alex Cobb comes back and then Robbie Ray comes back, well, then you've got an embarrassment of riches. But there's still a lot of question marks. It's very early, but I can say that I'm reasonably encouraged so far.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Jordan Hicks, I agree with you. I think he's pretty exciting. He may be the key to the staff because if he does become a legit starter, and even if he doesn't, I mean, he's going to help you as an arm. This guy not only throws hard, but he's mixing in a splitter now that, I mean, it kind of reminds you of Tim Lincecum when he had that splitter going because, he threw hard, but when he threw that split changeup, I mean, nobody could do anything with it.
Well, yeah, and that was, you know, you remember when Lincecum broke in, he was throwing 97, 98, no problem.
Yeah.
To augment the splitter. And here's a guy in Jordan Hicks. You can see why the Giants wanted to bring in this arm. It's very enticing. Anybody can throw a 100-mile-an-hour sinker. Right? Actually, he's been known to throw a couple of 100-plus. I think he got measured at 103 or 105.
It's amazing.
Memory serves me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can see why the Giants were interested in bringing that arm in. But everybody reasonably had a question about how this guy is going to translate into a starting pitcher after being a reliever. Because, I mean, all those guys go pedal to the metal out of the bullpen. But you know, now you're talking about trying to pace yourself, trying to have some control, trying to work hitters, trying to work a lineup, trying to work situations. And it's a whole different mindset. But based on what I saw against the A's in the exhibition game and what I say against the Padres, wow. You know, they may have something here. It's very early. Again, the asterisk on that in every conversation we have right now. But you throw that splitter that looks just as good as the sinker, and he's got a sweeper on top of that. Wow. And he's able to throw it with control. You know, he got into a couple of dicey situations, but he got out of them. And if he could give you five or six strong like that, yeah, they really do have something here.
You know, one advantage the Giants have over the Dodgers is off the field. They don't have distractions right now like the Dodgers do. I mean, the Dodgers have the media just circling them, wanting to talk about the Shohei Ohtani scandal, with his interpreter. And it's just bizarre, Ray. You think about it. I mean, the stories I've read about Shohei is that, he doesn't even play card games with his teammates. He's just not interested in, other sports and that kind of stuff. But apparently his interpreter definitely was. And we don't know what to believe because, there were revised statements. And it's so crazy, this story, that, theft and fraud and best friends and a guy who makes his, overall $700 million salary. It's just a crazy situation that the Dodgers are dealing with right now.
Well, the story keeps changing, right?
Yeah.
A couple of times. That's a problem right there. There should be an investigation, and we'll see where this goes. But people ask, how could you not notice 4 million missing?
Right. Right.
Okay. You and me? Yeah, we would notice that. You know, maybe Ohtani is such a busy guy, and he trusted this interpreter so much that maybe he didn't. I guess that's plausible. I don't live in a world where I can conceive of that scenario, but maybe he does because he's got the baseball world in all around the world focused on him. So there are probably a lot of responsibilities. So maybe he got distracted from that. He's not a financial guy. Maybe he's really not into gambling or card games or anything like that. Or the flip side is maybe this guy is a proxy, and if he is, that's a troubling situation. But we're going to find out. To this point, we don't have any solid evidence that he did anything wrong. But, there are some red flags. There's some smoke there. So is there a fire? And the other part of it is he is right now the face of MLB. So the stakes are extremely high here. So the conspiracy theorists are already saying baseball is going to go easy on them because if they do find something, it would be tremendous egg on their face to have this guy who's a face of the sport turn out to be involved in something, not very wholesome. So we're going to find out. I think, I hope so. I hope it's an above board investigation because, Rob Manfred, he's very well aware of what happens if we find out that there's some gambling going on here, even if it's not on the Dodgers or against the Dodgers or anything like that. Everybody's brought up Pete Rose, okay? So it's a touchy, touchy situation for the game as a whole. And if it's found out that, he did something like Rose, what do you do?
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't come to that. I don't think it'll come to that, but we have to make sure that we have trust that this is a full investigation and that they're not going to give him preferential treatment, but we know the way the world works.
Yeah, I don't know how you prove, really, that he knew the money was going to the bookmaker, unless, he was writing the check straight on to the bookmaker. But according to the stories I read, Ray, mostly it was Ohtani loaning money to the interpreter and not really knowing where that money was going. I don't know how much is it incumbent upon you as the person lending the money to know where that money is going. You know, that's a key question.
Well, yeah, and that goes back to, you know, I'd keep track of that money I was loaning. If it was that much, you would keep track of that money. But Shohei Ohtani probably trusted this guy. They were friends. And, you know, he's busy, and he didn't ask questions after that and didn't want to be bothered with it, maybe. But, you know, when you're talking about the first time you find out that this guy's got a gambling debt, you better squash that bug right away. So, you know, I think there's going to be some blame to go around. I don't know whether it's going to rise to the level of a suspension for Ohtani. It could. And if he did anything wrong, there should be a suspension. But we don't know that yet. Sometimes, you know, you have associations that you don't fully investigate and you don't know everything about that person. But as I understood it, Shohei and Ipe were pretty close. So I don't know what's going on here, but it doesn't smell good.
Maybe it was all an April Fool's joke and they're going to come out today and just say, yeah, it was just a joke. No worries.
Oh, yeah. That, har, har. Hardy, har, har.
Speaking of which, we're doing this podcast here on April Fool's Day. And
yeah,
probably the best April Fool's prank ever pulled in sports was the Sid Finch April Fool's article in the Sports Illustrated magazine. And, you know, for folks who don't remember, you know, back it was almost 40 years ago, actually, that this story was written. And it was just it was a fake story about a pitcher who was supposedly going to be with the New York Mets, and he threw, you know, 150 miles an hour or something like that. So I don't know. I don't know why anybody believed it. I don't know. Maybe I did. I don't know why I did. But it was pretty interesting to read that story and then find out later that it was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, you have to make it believable, first of all. All right. So 105 maybe. And they were saying he threw 150. Nobody could catch 150. You know, you break catcher's hand. But I remember the Twilight Zone where they came up with a robot named Casey who threw crazy curveballs and things like that.
Oh, yeah,
It was kind of a silly episode of Twilight Zone. And by the way, look up the story of the actor who played the robot Casey in the Twilight Zone. It's a wild story. Anyway, I digress. And that was... That was the Twilight Zone, and it wasn't even believable for the Twilight Zone. That's what made it silly. So you got to make it believable. I confess that when I was in KMBR and I was doing updates, when they used to do updates, you know, they used to do 20, 20, 20. They used to do them every 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
I mean, you talk about a sprinter's pace for 4 or 5 hours. But it was April 1st one time, and I did a April Fool's about all these stories, and one of them I had was the Giants trading for Franklin Gutierrez. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Outfielder with the Mariners. And at the end of it, I said, and this update is brought to you by April Fools. So you had to listen to the end of the update, right? People are going, holy shit, they dealt for Franklin Gutierrez. And I said, April Fools. And Ralph Barbieri couldn't believe I had the gall to do that. He said, did you hear that? What Ray did? He actually did an April Fool's where they traded. He couldn't believe I would do such a thing, you know, and try to play around with fans' emotions like that. And it was just one time, and I didn't get anybody telling me that, you know, I screwed up or anything. It was just Ralph saying that he couldn't believe I did that, and I knew it was a one off. I wasn't going to try to do that again, and I'd never been one to do April Fool's jokes. I just got a wild hair under me that day and did it that day. But no, you kind of lose your credibility if you do it more than once.
Yeah, I think pranks are funny. And by the way, it was the story was written by George Plimpton in SI back in 1985. Mine was the one prank that I pulled in my life that wasn't an April Fool's joke, but it was a prank. Is there was a guy that I was working with, and it was at CBS, and he was actually for an entire day ripping the executive producer at the time was Terry Ewert, and he was just saying all this stuff about him, and he did, this guy, he didn't even know who I was, just knew my name was Joe. Well, the next day I walked in with a credential, and I just put Joe Ewert under it, like as if I was Terry Ewart's son. And he looked at my credential, and he almost turned into a ghost. I mean, he was just, he thought, oh, my God, I've been ripping this exec producer. That's probably his son right there.
Oh, man.
And then I just said, no, I'm not really, that's not really my last name. So anyway, I'm not really good at, you know, I'm not good at pranks, Ray, because I'm just not a good liar. And, you know, I just start laughing, and it just doesn't work.
So did the fellow you were playing the prank on, who was ripping Ewart, did he appreciate the prank?
Yeah, he did eventually, but I think he was just sweating bullets when he first saw that. So eventually he did.
That's the best. If you make them shift in their seat a little, you know. But yeah, that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one. But yeah, I'm not a habitual prankster, and actually I'm pretty annoyed by people who are. So I probably wouldn't be good in a baseball clubhouse if somebody tried to give me a hot foot.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Golden State Warriors when the Sports Virus podcast continues.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give them a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. All right, let's switch gears and talk about the Golden State Warriors. So it's right down to the nitty gritty here. They've been kind of into this 10th spot for a while, you know, solidifying it a little bit more by beating the Spurs last night. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it looks like they're not really going to catch the Lakers. But for me, Ray, it's more about, hey, are they playing better basketball so that when they get to that situation where it's must win, you know, they can have a really good chance? And the answer to that for me is mostly yes, but they have that issue closing out games, even against a team like the Spurs, where, you know, it seems like it's comfortable and then it isn't.
They love blowing double-digit fourth-quarter leads, don't they?
Yeah,
I wish I loved anything as much as the Warriors love blowing double-digit. You know, every game I watch, and my wife is like, oh, they're up by 20 with 5 minutes to go. They're going to win. I'm like, no, they're not. They're only up by 20. They can blow this.
Right.
They can go down to 10 in 2 minutes, and it can. Because this is, by the way, not just the Warriors' problem this year. 20-point leads are not what they used to be.
No.
I think I heard Ian Eagle say it, that 20 is the new 10.
Right.
Because this is happening all over. Teams, what was it, which team was it that blew a 30-point lead? Was it the Nuggets? And they ended up losing the game?
I think you're right.
You know, that's the NBA nowadays, because it's all about the three-pointers, and everybody is so good at shooting them. A team can get hot, and they can close 30 to 10 within 5 minutes. So, you know, it is a bigger problem for the Warriors. There's no doubt about it. But this is kind of the way the game is now, and it feels like no lead is safe. And it got down to 2, amazingly enough, and then Draymond got that offensive rebound and found Klay for that big 3, and they held on. And, you know, Draymond, well, this past few days is pretty much a microcosm of his Warriors career, right? He gets ejected from a big game that they needed him with Kuminga out. They managed to survive it.
Then early, too. Early in the game. Yeah.
4 minutes in.
Yeah.
You know, not even 4 minutes in.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
You know, that's ridiculous. And you can see the emotion on Steph's face. It's like, you know, he worked, even Steph, who he's been through the wars with, he's his ride or die guy, but, you know, he works people's last nerves. And I think the emotion of having to deal with everything you deal with Draymond, I think it finally just all came out for Steph. And you could see the tears in his eyes, and he covered his face with his jersey. It's like, man, really? Really? You do this? Really? And, you know, he's all the crazy stuff he's done in his career. This was not the worst. but it was the timing of it, and you needed this win in Orlando against a good team, and you're gone 4 minutes into the game. Now they rose up and they won it to their great credit. Then he comes back against San Antonio and has one of his best games that I've seen him play in years, and comes up with a big offensive rebound at the end to seal the game. So that's what you get, the whole ball of wax with Draymond. You know, the contributions on the basketball court are still there. It's not quite at the level it used to be, but he's still good enough, and they're better with him. And as long as they assess that they're better with him, they're putting up with this stuff. Now, that fuse is getting shorter. The tremendous equity he's built with this team is not as much as it used to be because of all the things he's done, but it's still there. And, of course, he's got a contract that runs, I think, 3 more years. That's a big part of it as well. There may come a day where, and it seems like it's coming closer, where they finally have enough, but they're not there yet. They're getting close, though. You know, he keeps on pushing the edge of that envelope, but he's still an effective player. He still does unique things that are especially important for this squad. And, you know, he's been through all of the championship scenarios, all the playoff games. You want an experienced guy like that. And the fact of the matter is, since they came back from the suspension, he's been acting pretty much between the lines. That ejection the other night was the first incident since the suspension, and it didn't involve any violence, but it was just the timing of it that it just made it almost too much to bear. So, you know, this is a team that sometimes looks like the old Warriors, and the infusion of the young talent is critical for them. But if they go anywhere, it's going to be on the backs of Steph, Draymond, and Klay.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, Draymond is who he is, and they were 19-24, and since then they're, 21-10. So they're definitely playing better basketball. It's just they dug themselves a hole, and now they've got to go through the play-in games, as long as the Rockets don't run them down.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not concerned at all about them playing on the road, obviously, because of the way they played on the road, which is a complete turnaround from where they were last year on the road. I don't really understand that. But defensively, that's going to be the key. I mean, besides Draymond, they need other players to step up in the playoffs, you know, in a play-in type situation where you have to get a stop. And, you know, really one of the big keys is going to be Wiggins, because when Wiggins wants to play defensively and when he wants to play, period, he can be one of the best players on the floor. But it's just strange where I don't know if I want to even use the word wants to. It's just this strange situation with him where he can be so great, but at other times it looks like he's just not interested.
Yeah. I guess it takes emotional energy as well as physical energy to keep up that level of play, and maybe he doesn't quite have that in him. He can call upon it at particular times, like he did in the 22 postseason when he was brilliant. And that's the guy they want to keep seeing. But, you know, maybe in his mind, I can't always keep up that level of play. I got to pace myself. I'm not really sure what it is that goes through his mind. He doesn't appear to have that fire in his belly. He certainly doesn't have the fire in his belly that Draymond has. But if they're going to go anywhere, he's got to be determined to do that. And when he is determined to do that, he's usually pretty effective. It's just rough that, you know, Steve Kerr and the coaching staff and his teammates have to keep encouraging him and imploring him. Be aggressive. You know, you're super talented. You're at your peak as a player. You know, take it. Go ahead and take it. And he did a couple of years ago. But when you have to tell a guy like that, it's not always the best situation. You know, you want the guy you don't have to tell that, right? Steph Curry's a guy you don't have to tell. Draymond's a guy you don't have to tell. Klay is a guy who's fearless as a shooter, and he'll do what he needs to do. Wiggins, kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe it's sort of a psychological thing that, hey, I'm on this squad with 3 or 4 Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, when you counted Andre Iguodala in the mix. So his personality is kind of to try to take a step back and try to blend in that way. No, we need you to be the guy. We need you to be the man some nights. You know, it's a different situation when he was Minnesota and they weren't winning. But now you're on a team that's a winner, that expects to win, even now in their diminished state. So what are you going to bring to the table? So, I mean, maybe it's going to be a case where down the stretch we see that Wiggins again. But it's rough when you have to speculate about whether you are going to see that Wiggins again. You want to see that Wiggins all the time, and it's just not there.
It's not there. The guy who has really impressed me and surprised me more than anybody is Trace Jackson Davis. This guy has had a great rookie season, and you know, it's not about scoring or anything like that. It's just the way he runs the floor. He's a smart player. He just seems to be everywhere. I don't know. I can't say enough good things about him. He's a pretty good passer. I'm just really surprised. I did not know what they were getting when they got him, and he has been special.
Another son of an NBA player right there.
Yeah.
Or a family of NBA players. And he tweeted it out when he got drafted late in the second round. You're all going to regret this, I promise. So he's got that motivating factor to begin with. I'll bet he's like Draymond. He can remember everybody who was drafted ahead of him. Every single player. I'll bet you he can. He could. He's got more to remember than Draymond does. But you sit down with Draymond and okay, tell me the 34 guys that were drafted in front of you, and he'll tick the names right off. I'm sure that Trace Jackson Davis has something like that in mind too, and he wants to show everybody. But yeah, the skill level is there, and most importantly, he blends in with this team and their style of play. They need this type of player who can protect the rim, who can go up for lobs, who can run the floor, who can bring energy, who can block shots. I think he's a great fit for this team, and he understands right away what his role is. And so a player that who's a rookie, who had some college experience in big games, and who knows who he is, that's invaluable. And plus having the fact that, you know, he's not overwhelmed by the NBA because he's been around it since he's been a kid, just like Steph. So, and just like Wiggins, by the way, his dad was an NBA player as well, and Peyton. And, you know, that consequently, Looney's role has diminished. It's too bad. He's such a great team player, but it's obvious who should be on the floor right now. It's got to be Trace Jackson Davis, and they're a better, more athletic team with him, and that's part of that infusion of young talent. You know, he's going to go to the line a lot. So I hope he develops as a better free throw shooter, because that'll make him really dangerous. But everything else is there. And you didn't know what we saw him play in preseason and early games and said, yeah, this guy might be a contributing player, but he's come along faster than I think some of us expected.
Yeah, he's just really a lot of fun to watch. So a couple of weeks from now, when we podcast again, we'll be getting ready for the NBA playoffs, got the play-in, and that starts on the 16th. So we're only a couple of weeks away
right from
that. So we'll look forward to talking about that. And yeah, we'll see how it goes for the Golden State Warriors.
Might get a little Masters talk in there as well.
Absolutely. So, and of course the Final Four. So we got a lot going on here in the next couple of weeks.
You gotta love April. And by the way, that hat you gave me from the Masters, I still wear it on the golf course.
Nice.
And once in a while I hear Jim Nantz whispering, "Hello, friends."
Hello, friends. Well, Ray, yeah, thanks a lot. And, yeah, look forward to hopefully I'll have time and be able to see you. I'll be there for the Final Four in Phoenix. Everybody coming to Phoenix for that. Glendale, actually. So really looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, Ray.
All right. Sounds good, Joe.
That's Ray Woodson. Join us again in a couple of weeks for another edition of the Sports Virus Podcast. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on the Believe Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.